So I'm here with Juris Poikans, who's Latvia's ambassador to the Eastern Partnership countries. And I wonder if you could just give us a brief overview of what to expect from this Riga summit next week.
This is a very, very important summit. This is the fourth one already. The Eastern Partnership has 6 years, and it's a relatively new policy, but I think we should be proud of what has been achieved. We have 3 association agreements signed during these 6 years with Ukraine, Georgia, and Moldova, very important documents which define our relations. At the same time, we have another 3 countries which are not seeking the same level of ambition. So we try to develop individual tailor-made approach, try to search for that. And I think at the summit, the key is we want to get reconfirmation of the European Union on the strategic importance of this region, of this policy. So there will be a strong signal sent that we want to advance ties with all 6 countries, regardless of their level of ambitions with regard to the European Union. Our initial strategy, which was we want to create a zone of stability and prosperity along our eastern borders, remains as relevant as always. So this is a very much political signal we want to send. On the other hand, I think we will send a strong signal as well to Ukraine, Georgia, and Moldova in our willingness to assist in implementation of association agreements, because that will take a lot of time. And these are really agreements which are aimed at transforming economic systems of these countries. You might imagine how many standards they will need to adopt. So the European Union stands ready to do that. But at the same time, we are not closing doors, naturally, not abandoning Armenia, Azerbaijan, Belarus, which are a part of this policy, a part of this geographical region. So we want to develop ties with them as far as they are ready to go. So we are not imposing any solutions on these, on any of these 6 countries.
And Minister Rinkevich as well has been talking a lot about this tailor-made approach, this new tailor-made approach that you mentioned as well. What will be the tangible evidence of that? Are there going to be 6 different agreements signed? Mm-hmm. Is it just going to be talking? Is it going to be setting up a new body? Mm-hmm. How will that happen?
If you look at Georgia, Ukraine, Moldova, we have a relative convergence of all their interests. Yes, you have different countries. You might have the different pace of reforms. Let's say Moldovans have a visa-free regime, the European Union, Georgia and Ukraine don't have, but I think they will achieve it in a foreseeable perspective. So here we have a clear agenda, clear outline, how we want to move forward. When it comes to Armenia, Azerbaijan and Belarus, you're absolutely correct, we again have 3 different levels of relations. In case of Armenia, we started at first with association agreement. In 2013, Armenians decided that they want to opt for another integration format, so they went to the Eurasian Economic Union. We spent a year and a half together with Armenians and the European Union trying to understand how far Armenians could go in relation to the European Union given their membership. So we completed this exercise. We might have an announcement during the summit in Riga that we will open new negotiations on a new agreement. So specifically Armenian tailor-made approach. Azerbaijan was never interested in the association agreement, but at the same time they see their relationship with the European Union on a strategic level, and they have expressed, the president itself, several times they would like to have some kind of strategic partnership agreement. And the European Union has expressed an interest in getting acquainted with their version of the strategic partnership agreement, so which I would presume would be again a different agreement than with Armenia. And then in Belarus, we are starting from a very low basis. We are not negotiating any new agreement, but I think if political relations improve with Belarus, again, I would assume we might opt for a different type of an agreement. So what we are saying to these 3 countries, choose the level of relations you want with us, pick any integration formats you wish, and we are ready to positively respond. And clearly, because these are 3 different countries, Azerbaijan is an oil-producing country, it's an energy resources transit country, Armenia is lacking mineral resources, so you naturally will have different agendas also on behalf of these countries.
And speaking of agendas, I mean, the region at the moment is changing in all sorts of ways, almost yeah. You know, on a daily basis, and not always for the better. How much do you think will the result of the Riga summit or the declaration be different from what maybe you would have imagined 6 months or a year ago? Has the agenda changed completely, or are there core elements that are mm-hmm. the same and other things that have changed?
I think the key element when you look at the importance of the Eastern Partnership as a part of the European neighborhood policy, it has always been on the agenda of the European Union. So I think, let's say, looking at the strategic level, I think the interest in this region remains as it was. a half year ago and today, but clearly we might sense and might feel there is a different level of ambitions also within the European Union, how to move forward with these countries. Here clearly we have some dividing lines, because there are countries who believe that we need to slow down the process a bit. Some are saying we should remain as ambitious as always. So keeping even the strategic mind, what I was mentioning, zone of stability and prosperity, it seems we have different tactics how to achieve it. So this is pretty obvious. We are currently considering and drafting the declaration, 28 countries together, so involving also the six partners. And really painful exercise in a way, because when you have 34 countries with different perspectives, that takes a lot of time. It's very difficult to say where we will end up at the end of the day.
And as you've been going around to the various European Union member states in particular, do you get the sense that obviously the Eastern Partnership is very important to the Eastern countries, but maybe the Southern European countries are more interested in the crisis which is happening in the Mediterranean at the moment? Or
in a way, this is true, and I think this is reality, because clearly when you face challenge coming currently from the south, this will be much perceived for countries in the southern part of Europe. They feel it when they see these boats coming there. It's naturally a very pressing issue. I think the key element here is we don't need to have either, let's say, prerogative over one or another region. We need to have a balanced but ambitious policy towards both directions. Clearly, those countries in the southern part of Europe will feel more interested in the south, countries in the east more in the east, but it doesn't mean that we can't find a compromise. I really believe, when it comes also to the summit declaration, which currently seems maybe one of the most difficult issues, we will reach a compromise anyway at the end of the day. Sometimes, I think, let's say, outsiders who are looking at the European Union, seems that we are very divided on any issue. But at the end of the day, when it comes the right moment and you need to have a strategic decision how to act, the European Union remarkably can get better pretty well.
Great. Thank you very much.
Always welcome.